Plenty of texts coming through about your unsung heroes and also some corrections for me as well. Correction, says this texter, Matt. DeBellum was not found not guilty. Case was dropped. He's either guilty or not guilty. Yeah, thank you for that. But I think you get the point that I was making there. But keep them coming. Appreciate all of your feedback this morning. Week 14 of the AFL has 5 matches on the line. The Sydney Swans get a break this week. They will take on Port Adelaide next week. The Swans CEO Tom Harley joins me on a Thursday morning. It's great to catch up. Good morning to you, Tom.
G'day, Matty. How are you?
Good, mate. Before we get into the nitty-gritty, the old unsung heroes, what about your day? I mean, you played in an era where there were so many big names in AFL and, of course, in your team at Geelong. Who's the ones, when you look around the league and go, they're the kind of guys that just didn't get the headlines that they probably should have?
Yeah, look, I'll be biased. I think they're generally defenders, Matty, in our game. And one of the pathways through to an AFL career is what's called the rookie list. Which means you're overlooked in the national draft and you end up on a supplementary list and forge your career that way. And, at the Swans, over the, I guess, the premiership years from 2005 and 2012, there have been a number of those players. Brett Kirk was a rookie. He ended up being a premiership captain for the Swans. Nick Smith was an All-Australian premiership back pocket for the Swans in 2012. Heath Grundy was the fullback. He was a rookie as well. Lewis Roberts-Thompson was a promoted rookie. Kieran Jack was a promoted rookie. So they're the sort of players I look at through the Swans. At the Cats, I played with a guy, Max Rook, who played in a couple of premierships for the Cats. He was a promoted rookie as well. And they're great stories in sport, aren't they? The guys that probably miss a few opportunities or not given the opportunities early on in the career, fight, and ultimately end up having really strong premiership-winning careers.
Yeah, 100%. You could almost build yourself a Swans team with the guys that you just put out there. Hey, at the SCG over the long weekend, this is away from Sydney on field, but Melbourne-Collingwood, of course, took place because of COVID. It's the big freeze match. What a weekend it was. Nathan Buckley's last game in charge there of the Magpies, more than $2 million was raised for motor neurone disease. It's an amazing weekend, Tom, and it must have been incredible for the Sydney Cricket Ground, your home ground, to be part of it.
Yeah, it was terrific. One of the things that's been great about, I guess, the silver lining to the COVID situation is the collaboration between clubs. We work closely with Destination New South Wales, we being the Swans, closely with Destination New South Wales and the SCG Trust to see whether that game could possibly get up. It did. Our cheer squad made the banner both teams ran through, which was a great touch. And the big freeze has become a highlight of the AFL calendar. We had some activations at Bondi Icebergs on Monday morning, and I sat in the stands with my two boys. I was three rows back in the Bill O'Reilly stand watching that game, and it was a great game of footy. Over 16,000 people came along, and Nathan Buckley, I think we spoke about him last week, Matty, a titan of the game and a great result for him. A really good game of footy. And, you know, to have that turnout on a public holiday on a Monday was great and speaks certainly to A, the collaboration, but the advancement of the code up in Sydney, which was great. And as I say, an iconic fixture. I'm sure it'll be back at the MCG next year. It's with two tenants, Melbourne and Collingwood, but to play host for a one-off was great for the SCG.
On Friday night, 38-point loss to Hawthorn. What went wrong there?
Yeah, look, it was a really disappointing performance, Matty, and all the key metrics. The Hawks won that. They were harder at the ball and won the contested possession count. And you know, it's a very, very tough competition, and where two teams stand on the ladder is not all that relevant when it comes to the bounce of the ball, and the Hawks absolutely outplayed us. We go into the bye. The players have had 4 days off. Looking out my window at the moment, watching the boys run around and training pretty intensely at the minute. So we have a good block leading into the weekend and train again on the weekend before we prepare to play Port Adelaide over in Adelaide. It's a 1 week at a time proposition. We're sitting 8-5. We're in the 8 at the moment, but certainly not looking any further ahead than Port Adelaide. But we have to review the Hawthorn game critically, and we'll do that. We'll do that today and tomorrow to make sure that we look to address some of those areas that we clearly let ourselves down in.
And sometimes, Tom, when you come off a match like that, a match that you're not expected to lose and you go down, is it a case you want to get back out there, or a case that perhaps the bye is a good time to sit down, take stock? I mean, I'm tipping you would have wanted as a player to get straight back out and get back on the pony.
Yeah, that's one of the beauties of all the football coaches is you've ordinarily got next week to atone for what happened the week before. This was leading into a bye, so I've got no doubt the players were smarting from the performance on the week, and that's not taking anything away from Hawthorn. I thought they played exceptionally well. I think as a general rule with the bye, you need to make it work for you, and there are load management decisions that need to be made on players who may have starting to get a bit sore. Thankfully, touch wood, we're in a pretty healthy position. We've had to manage a couple of our really young players in Braden Campbell, Errol Goulden and Chad Warner, expecting them all to come back through the bye. So there are players that really benefit from the bye, and there are other players who need to continue to do some conditioning work. So it's a case-by-case, make it work for you, but we'll be absolutely confident. We'll be well-prepared for our final couple of months of the season. They're all big games and none bigger than Port Adelaide over in Adelaide in a fortnight's time.
Absolutely. Tonight at the AFL Tribunal, Tom, Adelaide's David McKay will challenge this rough conduct charge on Hunter Clark. So it's left Hunter with a broken jaw. Now, as Sydney Swans CEO, we don't expect you to comment on other teams, other players and other incidents, but I wonder where this sits in the framework of the game at the moment. We're having this huge debate in rugby league, as you know, around concussion and high shots. How will the game react to this if the tribunal, in the opinion of the people, gets it wrong?
Yeah, it's a really interesting one. And I think the overarching premise is that the head is sacrosanct. Everyone knows that. And the rules are reviewed typically on an annual basis to protect the head at all instances. Now, the debate, as I understand it, around this particular incident is whether David McKay, the Crows player, has actually broken any of the existing rules. Hence going straight to the tribunal. So that's where the grey area is, and there's been a lot of commentary around that. You know, some of the commentary is very emotive. You know, the game's just got to be hard. It's a competitive sport, all of those, that sort of line of commentary. And the other side is yes, but Hunter Clark is he's received a broken jaw from this. So, look, you're right, I won't comment on it other than to say the game will continue to evolve. The appropriate review should happen at season's end in preparation for an upcoming season. The challenging part is this looks like that the review, the result of the tribunal may then trigger a tweak in the interpretation of the rules, which is always a bit tricky mid-season.
As you know, I'm actually sitting in our SEN studio smack bang in the middle of Adelaide, so you can imagine it's been the talk of the town down here. Tom, thanks for your time this morning. Dust yourself off after that loss to Hawthorn. You've got a week off. Of course, you'll be playing Port Adelaide on Saturday week, so a huge one against Port Power. And we'll catch up again next week.
Yeah, look forward to it. And rest assured, we'll be absolutely prepared for the game against the Power next Saturday night.
On you, Tom. Thank you. There is the Sydney Swans CEO, Tom Harley. So a week off for the Swans. Week 14 of the AFL begins tomorrow night, Geelong v the Bulldogs. Then Saturday, it's Gold Coast and Port Adelaide. North Melbourne have Brisbane Saturday afternoon. The GWS Giants at home to Carlton on Saturday night. So 7:25, that will begin against the Blues for the GWS Giants. And Hawthorn have Essendon. And then, of course, the following week is when the Swans will be back in action after that 38-point loss to Hawthorn, who are second last on the ladder. So a good time to take a breather and reset. We need to take a breather. Pace and Bills, your unsung heroes. And give me your report card on Paul Gallen v Justice Hooney last night. I didn't see it. Plus, some big news in the world of A-League soccer. Alan Stadjic has walked out. He's quit on the Central Coast Mariners. You've got a lot to say about that on the text line as well, so we'll dig our way through that after this.